to all of you for the way that you have participated in the songs and in the games and in your spirit. I sincerely love each and every one of you, and I wish I would have more time to get to know you. And you guys are so special. You really are. And appreciate the testimony, Sister Celine, and what a tremendous testimony that was. You know, in God's family, and we all have different stories, you know. There's many numerators, but there's only one common denominator. All of us have stories about how Jesus brought us to himself. Many numerators, but there's only one common denominator, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to all of the camp counselors. I have seen your dedication. I've seen your work. And it humbles me to know that I get to co-labor with people that love the Lord Jesus. I love you guys. Thank you for being an example to me this week, each and every one of you. In order to run a successful camp, you need people that love the Lord, and will set themselves aside for you, for the young people, to bring your glory. And it just thrills my heart to be able to take a small part of camp. Really, I'm not a big shot, all right? I'm a big person, but I'm not a big shot. But I'm just like you. I was just a sinner needing a Savior, and one day I met him. And I'm just like you, man. I just think about you guys during the day. I look through the list and I pray for you alphabetically by name. And I know that God wants to use you. Every one of you, God has a plan for your life. If I didn't believe that, Joseph, I wouldn't have come here. If I didn't believe, Siobhan, that God could use you, that God could use you, that God had a plan for you, I wouldn't have come, seriously. But I have no doubt in my mind that in this room, God has a specific purpose for a specific person. And if you apply the word of God to your life, if you apply these songs and the good, clean fun that you've had these last couple days, and if you take this with you to the world when we get off this mountain, I guarantee in 20 years you'll wake up and you'll have a no-regret life, and you'll look back and think, my, how the time went by, and how God has used you to make an impact and influence for his name's sake. Never think that you come to a camp like this, and it's about a pastor. Never think that you come to a camp like this and think it's about a church. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a church. It's not about personality. It's not about politics. It's not about government. It's not about culture, it's not about people, it's not about places, it's not about time. Our life consists of one person. Simplicity, let me simplify it for you. It's Jesus. That is it. Jesus is the reason that we all breathe. Jesus is the reason that we get to sit here tonight. All one person. Don't complicate your life thinking I'm doing this for that, for this, for that. Nah, homeboy, time out. The only reason that you live is because of one person, and his name is Jesus. Yes, it is. I get happy when I hear you guys singing about Jesus, because he's real. He's not somebody that's afar off. One day somebody had a dream, and they just conjured up Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, and Allah, which in the Arabic tongue means God. And they just kind of conjured him up in their mind, and millions of people started following that. Can I tell you? Muhammad never existed. And if he did, he's a pervert. Muhammad, when they buried him, he stayed in the grave. There's another man by the name of Joseph Smith. He started his own religion, Mormonism. And they get into all kinds of practices, and they got a little bit of truth mixed in with a lot of lie and poison. And people follow that road. Can I tell you the day that they buried Joseph Smith, the next day, the following week, and the following year, you can go to his grave and find Joseph Smith still laying in the grave. There's another man by the name of Charles Taze Russell. He's the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah Witness, false witness, who would recognize God the Father but denies God the Son. And I want to tell you young people something tonight that's very serious. If you accept God the Father and if you deny God the Son, then you denying the Son is denying the Father. Because if you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. When they buried Charles Russell, the next week, he was still in his grave. There's another man that's been worshipped by many of our Asian people around the world. It's Buddha. And Buddha, and they give you all these different laws, and they tell you to do this and do that, and you reach different levels. When they buried Buddha, if he ever existed, the next week when they came to his grave and they checked out to see if he was alive, Buddha still remained in the grave, and he's there to this day. When the famous dictator Adolf Hitler blew his brains out after he had so oppressed God's people, the Lord allowed that. I understand that. After slaughtering over 6 million Jews, Adolf Hitler was buried in Germany. You can go to Germany today and find the tombstone of Adolfo Hitler. And the next week, when they came by to check it out, he was still buried, dead in the grave. Michael Jackson, the king of pop, sold billions and millions of records. There's not been another man that have danced like Michael Jackson. Had one of the greatest voices of all time. Yes, he went through abuse, physical, verbal. He went through all kinds of personality changes, voice changes. He's a gifted man. God gave him his voice. He used it for his own gain, his own personal gain. Michael Jackson died at an early age. If you go to the grave of Michael Jackson today, you will find that Michael Jackson is still there. About 2,000 years ago, there was a young girl that was espoused. That means she was engaged. The love of her life was Joseph. Man, they were lovebirds. One day, his fiance comes to her, and she says, "Joseph, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm pregnant." Joseph, terrified, embarrassed, felt betrayed. Why are you expecting? We're supposed to get married. I love you. Like, why? His thoughts were, she cheated on me. The Bible says he would not make her a public example. Joseph was the man. He didn't embarrass her. One day the angel shows up and he tells Joseph, "Hey, Joseph, what Mary told you is true. She's expecting. But who she's expecting in the womb has been inherited by the Holy Spirit." They flee to Egypt. Eventually they come to a place of Bethlehem. One of my favorite verses as a child is found in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 11. "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, man, there was no room for them in the end. So he was born in a lowly stable. Stink, animals, fecal matter, dirty. That's where Jesus was born. One day when he's about 11 years old, 12, there's a big festival. They're in town, Jerusalem. They're eating, having a good time. He's at the temple. And you know what he's doing? The doctors, which were the teachers of the law, lawyers, professionals, businessmen, they were sitting down and they weren't given the lesson. These adults were listening to a young child and their minds were blown. They were asking him questions. He's just a kid. His parents leave. After a day, Mary asked Joseph, "Hey, where's Jesus?" "I I don't know, Mary. I thought he was with you. Where's Jesus? Is he back in the caravan? Where? And they came back to the temple. This is an amazing story. They came back to the temple, and they found him. And his mom is panicking. You know how moms get? Have you ever been lost in the store, and your mom's looking for you? Two things will happen. One, she's going to be very happy when she finds you. And two, you're not going to be very happy when she finds you. Clack, clack. Boom, boom. Okay, anyways. So when Mary shows up to the temple, she's like, son, we were worried sick about you. What is wrong with you? When it's time to leave, you got to go, baby. And for the first time, his mama began to understand the reason that he was born. Whew. He said, Mom, I'm paraphrasing, don't you know that I gotta be about my father's business? She probably didn't understand what he was talking about. Father's business? He's a carpenter. No, Mama, I gotta be about my father's business. He grows up, he grows in wisdom, in favor with God, in favor with man, in stature. He's working. Yeah, he's working with his stepdad, Joseph. He knows what it takes to build buildings. He knows what it's like to work with nails. He knows what it's like to swing a hammer. He's grown. He's strong. He's tan. He's gorgeous. Nobody messes with Jesus. One day, he's old enough. He's leaving the house. He's about 30 years old. He starts to call people, men, to be with him. Because now it's time to fulfill what he told his mama. I got to be about my father's business. Come on. Peter, this dude cusses all the time. He's a fisherman. It doesn't matter. Bring your brother with you. John, this guy's tenderhearted. It's okay, John, come with me. Luke, I need a doctor, so want to come? All right, let's go. You work with money. Ooh, people hate you, huh, dog? Yeah, they hate you. Well, come on, Matthew, come on. He even chose Judas, knowing all the time he would betray him. After about 3 years, he's working miracles. He loves them. He's teaching them things about the kingdom. It only took him three years. And he teaches these men. One day, one of the men that he chose betrays him. Judas Iscariot betrays him. Dirty. Worried about money all the time. He gives him a kiss. The Roman soldier takes him. You know the story from there on out. When they found the borrowed tomb, needed somewhere to bury him, right? His body. They placed his body in the tomb. They sealed the tomb. Whether you say it's Thursday, Friday, 3 days, 3 nights. 3 days, 3 nights. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Did he lie to us? Dude, he lied to us. Where is he? Mom's crying at the cross. My baby's gone. He's dead. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Ooh. Man, he took care of his mama even while he was dying. Lord, 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 help us. Why are you telling us all this? Because every other god of this world is still dead. On the third day, bright early as the sun rised, there would be another sun that would rise, the S-O-N. God raised him from the dead. Whew. Comes out. There's the gardener. The gardener's doing. Mary shows up. He calls her name. And when he called her name, she recognized his voice. Nobody's called me Mary like that before. Nobody called me like that. And he said, Rabboni, Master. Dude, it's awesome. Everyone else that claimed to be a God, young people, they're all dead. When they tried to kill our God, Jesus, they killed him because it was part of his plan. They didn't kill him because he couldn't avoid being killed. They killed him because his father planned it all. Because he knew that you and me, we're going to need a Savior. That God, Jesus, is alive tonight. And a God that's alive. The Bible says in Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. If he's great, then he must be praised in a great way. It won't take me long. I want to show you just some things. Are you still with me? Y'all all right? Would you please go to Ruth chapter 3? Ruth chapter number 3. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Y'all have been very easy to preach to, and I appreciate that. I've prayed for you even before coming, and I've prayed during the days that I've been here. Somebody raise your hand and tell me what happened, and kind of just tell me what happened in chapter 2. Yeah, Makana? That's right. H-A-P. Let's say H-A-P on three. 1, 2, 3. Coincidence? Nah. Not coincidence. Let's say providence on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Providence.
God led her to the right field. Hey, what? At all the fields she could have been, God led her to the right field. Naomi says, Ruth, stay with those handmaidens. Don't go to another field now, baby. You got to stay with those handmaids. Because the person that you're working for, ta-da, he is rich. And he is our kinsman redeemer. In other words, he's the one that's going to carry the name of Elimelech because Elimelech died. He's his cousin. Or he's his second cousin, his brother. He's something to Elimelech. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he's our kinsman redeemer. Chapter 3. Look what the Bible says in verse number 1. Stay with me and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Don't get tired. I think we're having like cookies and milk or something, then playing some games. Don't get tired. Listen to what the Bible says, okay? Chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? You know what she's saying? Sweetheart, you got to go on and get on with your life. Rest, home. I got to get you a husband. Can't live with me that longer. You got to stop working. You ain't meant to go out there and hustle like that. And here's what happens. Verse 2. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he what tonight? He winnoweth what? Barley tonight. In the where? Y'all see that verse 2? Where's he winnowing barley? Where? I was born in the city, so I don't know nothing about cutting grass. I know about smoking. No, just kidding. But Long Beach, okay? If anybody knows where Long Beach is at, hey, it's crazy, all right? That's right, I got some Long Beach over there. Hey, man. All right. So I'm a city boy. Like, I don't know about cutting grass. I don't know about weeding grass. I don't know about trimming and all that. Like, I don't know. I seriously don't know. I was an intern at age 19, Brother Anwar, Brother Mike Johnson in Redding, California, said, Sammy, here's some weed killer. I want you to go around and just kind of spray around the church, you know? So I'm like, okay, cool. So I got a pair of headphones on. I got a little Walkman. Y'all don't even know about the Walkman no more. Y'all don't know about the Walkman no more. Anyway, so I'm walking around the church, and I'm goofy. I'm a goober, and I'm just spraying everything. I don't care. I'm like, he says spray around the church. He's like, all it took was 2 days. It's hot. The average temperature in Redding in the summer is like 108 degrees, dry humidity. In 2 days, all the plants around the church were all brown. Dude, you're dumb, dude. You ever see that meme or that GIF? You are so dumb. You are so dumb. Hide your kids, hide your husband, hide your wife. You are so dumb. Dude, Mr. Gomes, I was out of my mind. I was 19. The ladies in the church were like, oh, what happened, Sammy? I was like, the pastor said to weed it, but you're only supposed to spray the weeds, only the weeds. I don't know. I'm from the city, man, whatever. What's winnowing barley? You know that the harvest time is over. The reapers, they've gotten all the barley, kind of like the wheat stalks. You ever seen a wheat field full of wheat? They cut them in bundles, bundle them up, a couple stalks at a time. Then they take them to the threshing floor. The threshing floor. Now, this is a very hard and tedious job. They didn't have machines back then. They didn't have huge fans. They didn't have the combine machines, whatever they like to call it. So they had to do it by hand. And here's what they do. They take bundles. Make sure there's dragging. Go ahead, Brother Kuma. There you go. All right. If he gets up, I'm stopping preaching. I'm going to the cabin. Hey, real talk. I don't care. Nah. Anyways, so here it is. That thing, I'm gone, bro. Seriously. Takes these stalks, right? Stalks, wheat stalks. Takes them to the threshing floor. Naomi tells Ruth, hey, Boaz, he's working at the threshing floor tonight. Boaz is the man. He and his friends, co-workers, by the way, he's the boss that works. That's awesome, man. They take these wheat stalks all in order, the heads in the front. And in order to get the grains out of them, you had to beat them. So with the stick, they would beat the wheat. Bah, 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 bah. And the more you beat the wheat, the more that the grains would be loosened. Then they would take the stalks, they would chuck that, but then you would have all of this that had been broken up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? All of this is broken up. And then they would take one guy in that corner, one guy in this corner, one guy here, and they would all say, okay, one, two, three. And because he was working in the evening, that means there was a wind, there was a breeze. And whenever he go like this, the wind would drive the chaff away. The more they beat and beat and beat, and the grains would fall down. They would loosen the grains because they didn't want the chaff. They didn't want the stalks. They wanted the wheat. They wanted the grain. They wanted the barley. And so they would beat and beat and beat. And they say, all right, fellas, one, two, three. And the wind would take the chaff away. They'd beat and beat, and the wind would take the chaff away. Does this not remind you of a portion in Scripture? Does it not remind you of a portion of Scripture? Does it? And the wind would take the chaff away. They would beat and beat and beat because they didn't want the stalk. They didn't want the chaff. They wanted the grain. They wanted the seed. That's what you can process. That's what you made bread with. Not the stalk, not the chaff. And the wind would drive it away. Bible study. Go to Psalm 1. Watch this. Psalm 1, watch what he says there. When you see the word blessed in the scripture, it means happy. 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 Because God allowed me to be bilingual, sometimes I can compare words and the etymology makes more sense in one language than it does the other. So it means happy. Watch what he says in verse 1. Look at it. Watch what he says. Blessed is the man. That's speaking in the plural form, okay, or woman, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse number 2. Let's read it together tonight. Ready, begin. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now listen. Whenever you see the law of the Lord in the Bible, it's talking about the Bible. Whenever you see precepts, it's talking about the Bible. Whenever you see commandments, it's talking about the Bible. Whenever you see statues, it's talking about the Bible. And he says, happy is the man whose delight that you enjoy being in the Word of God. And so that's what soap time is about. It's an attempt to get you to have an appetite for the Word of God. It's to get you to wrap your mind around the Word of God. You see, I got problems with my mind. I have mental health issues. Sometimes I have depression. Sometimes I have anxiety. Sometimes I want to panic. Sometimes I don't know what to do. And I just want to say I've been there a time or two, but I'm going to tell you the greatest antidote for a heart that's broken, the greatest remedy for a mind that wanders off, the greatest medicine that you can give your soul is the Word of God. It is God's eternal Word. And he says, you got to delight in it. Look what he says right here, verse number 3. Then he gives a description. Watch this. And he shall be planted, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Let's say prosper on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Prosper.
Whatever you do, you'll prosper if you're in the Word of God. But watch what he says in verse numero 4. Watch number four. Here it is. The ungodly are not what? That means it's the opposite. Those that don't delight in God's word. Dude, preaching is boring, bro. Reading the word of God is boring. I don't want to go to church because they're going to preach to us again. They're going to teach to us. They're going to be yelling or talking quietly or going to be feeling badly. Why we got to do devotions? Who does not delight in God's word? They're not happy. That's what he's saying. They're not happy. And look at the description that he gives them. Watch this. Watch what he says. The ungodly are not so. Stay with me. Verse 4. But are like the what?
Chaff.
Woo! Which the what? What does it do? It drives it away. God says, when you do not delight in the word of God, listen, look at me, everybody looking at me. When you don't delight in the word of God, when you don't read it, when you don't meditate on it, when you don't memorize it, some people say, I can't memorize the scripture, I can't memorize the Bible, but you can memorize every song that comes out by your favorite R&B artist. You can memorize every song that comes out by your favorite rap artist. If I were to tell you, rap a song for me, some of y'all be rapping just like that. And so would I, yes, because I grew up listening to rap music. I can tell you lyrics of 20 years ago because I was a kid listening to that stuff. And if I can memorize the lyrics of a rap song or an R&B song or a rock song or whatever song, then I can memorize the words that are in God's word. Yes, I can. Now, here's what he says. Here's what he says. If you don't do it, you'll be like the chaff. Boaz is working at the threshing floor. Pa, 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 pa. Get rid of the stalks. There's the remains. All right, guys, one, two, three. And the wind drives the chaff away. We've been repeating this over and over, but you know what's sad? It's sad that some of y'all are on the threshing floor. Some of y'all on the threshing floor. God's working in your life. You're at the right place, right time, right people. But when it comes time to see who the real deal is, look at me. When it comes time to see who the real Christians are, when God says go, whoosh, some of y'all will drop in faith, and others y'all, whoosh, ungodly. Hey, where's so-and-so at? Like the chaff, bro. I've been in church 27 years. You know what I've seen? I've seen very few fall to the ground, but I see a lot of folks. When the wind comes, gone. Gone. They gone, brother. They gone. They were here for a couple years. They heard the same preaching. They prayed at the altar. They sang the same songs. Everybody heard the same messages, had the same pastor, youth pastor, opportunity to do right. Our situations are difficult. Some of y'all got crazy situations, but you just heard of a crazy situation. And if God can work in her life, God can work in your life. And you can hear his testimony back there. You can hear his testimony right there. You can hear Kumi's testimony, Brother Ali's testimony. And every one of us would tell our story. You would be surprised and shocked to see the situation and circumstances that God has pulled us out of. And you have no excuses to say, God's not been good to me. That is an absolute lie. God has been good to every one of us. And the church said what? Amen. He's been good to every one of us. I wonder when God goes, threshing floor. Now watch the transaction. Look what the Bible says. Ruth 3, watch this. This is cool. Ruth 3. Watch this. This is cool, man. I love this. So Ruth 3, verse number 3. Watch this. Don't miss this, okay? Naomi tells Ruth, wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put on thy raiment upon thee. You know what she's telling her? Hey, girl, go get booed up. That's what she said. Go wash yourself, Ruth. Go put some perfume on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the best dress you got on. Put it on. The best gear you got. The raiment. Put it on. And get ready. I'm going to tell you the story. Go down to where he's working tonight. Now, don't interrupt his work. And when it comes to dinner time, after they're done working, don't you go to him after he's done and drinking and eating and all that. Don't do that. Because it's time of celebration. They're celebrating the end of the harvest. They're celebrating that they got grain. They got food. And it lasts for months at a time until the next harvest. But when he goes to lay down, mark the place where he's going to sleep. And when he's sleeping, I want you to go and I want you to uncover his feet. Uncover his feet. He's the Kinsman Redeemer. Part of the way that you would let the Kinsman Redeemer know that you were interested in marrying him and in him redeeming you was uncovering the feet. There's nothing immoral going on. So you know what happens? She went, She marked the place where he was sleeping. You say, why are they sleeping outside? Because it's the time of judges. Every man's doing that which is right in their own eyes. And you know what happens? People steal food. That's what happens. People steal food. So they're sleeping around in circles, all the men. And at night, midnight exactly, you can read it in the Bible. I'm not making it up. Read it later so you can verify. He realizes that his feet is uncovered. You know how he realizes his feet is uncovered? Because he's cold. It's cold, man. And when he notices that Ruth is at his feet, he freaks out. Whoa, dude, who's at my feet right now? They don't have night lights, so he doesn't know. It's dark, it's pitch black. He don't know who it is. Watch this question. Now, let the Holy Spirit apply this. This is very cool. You know the word of God to get us all. I mean, it gets us. Watch this. Don't let it go over your head. Watch this. Verse number 8. And it came to pass at midnight, see that? That the man was afraid. What man? Boaz. And turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Verse number 9, let's read it together, okay? Stay with me. Verse number 9, ready, begin. And he said, time. What did he ask her? Who are you? Who are you? Wait a minute. Don't miss this. It's about to get real good right here. He said, Who are you? Isn't this a question that resonates with us? Is this question not relevant with us? Who are you tonight? Who are you? Who are you? You know what she said? I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread before thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. You know what this is? This is a transaction that's going on. She says, spread the skirt over me. You know what that means? It's a sign of protection. It's a sign of not only protection, but a sign of, watch this, possession. She's submitting herself. She's like, put your skirt over me. That means that we about to get married. Watch this. Verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You know what he's telling her? You weren't trying to look for a handsome dude. You weren't trying to look for a broke dude. You weren't trying to look for a rich dude. You weren't trying to look for any handsome. You were just trying to follow. You were looking for God. And God led you to me. Did you see that? He just told her that. Now watch this. Verse 11. That speaks of Boaz's testimony, by the way. Now watch this. This speaks of Ruth. Watch this. Don't miss this, girls. And men, don't miss this. Verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city, everybody at the house, everybody at the barbershop, everybody at Big Save. Watch what he said. Everybody in the city of my people doth know that thou art a man. Don't trip on Ruth. Now look at me. Everybody in the city knows that you're a virtuous woman. What? She wasn't going around telling people about her lifestyle. She wasn't going around saying, vote for Ruth. Everybody knew that she was a godly woman. Hey, guys, look at me. Everybody knew. This lady, she walks with God. You know, in the room tonight, if you really sincerely love the Lord, you don't have to tell anybody about it. People will just know. Man, if you spend enough time with the rose of Sharon, people will begin to smell his scent all over you. Like, man, you done been with somebody else today, baby. The rose of Sharon is Jesus. If you've been around Jesus, people will know. Dude, it's a different lady. Virtuous woman. And can I just parenthetically say right now, every girl in the room ought to strive to be a virtuous woman. Every girl should strive to preserve their purity and give that as a gift to the husband that God has for them. Every man in the room, look at me, man. Every one of you should seek to be like a Boaz, hardworking man, a kind man, a godly man, a man that is strong, a man that works at the threshing floor. Every man that's a Boaz will eventually marry a Ruth, and every woman that's a Ruth will eventually marry a Boaz. Can you see it, girls? Can you see it, men? Can you see it? Can you see it? One day, standing here at the altar, one day, dressed in white, one day, people that love you crying, girl, they crying. They love you. They're proud of you. You're marrying a man of your dreams, a man that works hard, a man that's got integrity, a man that respects you, is not going to beat you, is not going to cheat on you, a man that has your best interests in mind, is not loving you for what he can get out of you, but loving you for what he can give to you. Can you see it, girls, standing here at the altar? There is a man that's waiting for you, and everybody's taking pictures, and they're saying, can you believe that little girl that used to come to church? Can you believe that little girl that grew up in church? Now she's fulfilling God's will for her life. Can you see it, man? You working hard? By the way, Boaz was going to provide for Ruth, and all the men of God said what? Amen. Oh, we live in a day when women are provided for men. We got the roles mixed up. God has called us to be men. We are to provide for the women that God has given us. We are to provide. And here it is. She's found her man, Boaz. And Boaz has found her woman. Oh, but you know, it's easy. Here's what easy is. It's easy for somebody to come along, you girls, and try to wine and dine you. Try to tell you how beautiful you are. Try to tell you how your anatomy pleases them. Try to tell you how you can go over here and it'll be okay. We're going to have protective sex. And they'll try to wine and dine you, and you're going to believe it because you want to be wanted. You want somebody to tell you you're beautiful. And what happens is predators, they know. They'll tell you anything to get you in a bed of fornication. They're out there. Listen, girls, listen to me. I'm talking to you as if you were one of my daughters. I'm telling you, this is a danger out in the world. You don't want to just lie with any man. You don't want to just lie with any man that'll tell you you're beautiful just to get you in the bed, mess you up, get you pregnant, leave you out high and dry. It'll never happen to me, Brother Sammy. Yes, it will. Happens all the time, whether on the island or the mainland, if you're from Long Beach, if you're from Kauai, if you're from Ohio, if you're from Indiana, if you're from Chicago. It happens all over the world. Young people just living how they want to live, thinking there's no consequences. No, young lady, if a man really loves you, he'll respect you. He won't touch you. Nah. He'll go to your dad one day and say, Mr. So-and-so, I love your daughter. I want to marry her, sir. And I'm here to ask you for your blessing and permission. Your dad will say no. Your dad will say no. It's all good. He's going to say no. He said, man, my dad's not there. Somebody will love you enough to say no. You'll find an uncle so-and-so. It's all good. Got to give you somebody. It's all good. But when he finally comes around and he proves himself that he didn't want to just a one-night stand with you, then just want you for what you can give him, they're everywhere, girls. Everywhere. 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 But when you find somebody that respects you, loves you, life really is a fairy tale. Guys, you too. Look at me, guys. Don't you want God to bring a Ruth by your life? Yes. Samuel, don't you want God to bring a Ruth by your life? Yeah, dude. So, man, I'm young. I don't even think like that yet. Soon enough. Mess around with the wrong girls, mess your life up, catch some STD, have some child. You don't even want this girl, but you got a child now, so you're stuck with her the rest of your life. Happens all the time. Whew, is that heavy? It is, but it's true. Is Brother Sammy preaching the truth tonight? Wait, girls, it's all good. All you girls are so pretty. All you men are handsome. Wait. It's all good. Somebody that loves you won't touch you unless you're married for you. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Amen. Woo! Somebody who loves you is not going to touch you, baby. Nah, unless you got a ring on it. If you want, you should have put a ring on it. Isn't that what Beyonce used to preach? Listen. It's all good. Listen. They'll sacrifice their work. Don't sell out to anybody. They'll sacrifice their work. If it's that easy to get, it'll be that easy to lose. Man, I'm preaching right now. Don't trip. If it's that easy to get, it'll be that easy to lose. I'm telling you. And it'll go to the next one. Somebody's angry in here. It's all good. Because I'm exposing them. It's all good. They'll wait. They'll wait. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. Okay. Where's the work at, Boaz? Where's the responsibility? Love equals responsibility. You know that, right? Man, let me say that one more time. Love equals responsibility. Stop acting like, oh, we love him. Nah. If a man loves you, he'll be responsible. If he can't hold on a job right now, what makes you think he's going to have a job after you marry him? Man, I'm lighting everybody up tonight. It's all good. You know I'm telling you the truth because I sincerely love each and every one of you. That's why I'm telling you the truth. I'm leaving the island anyways. It's all good. What was the question that Boaz asked Ruth? What was the question? Watch this. Watch this. I'm done with the message, and this is going to blow your mind. This is amazing. He tells her, stay this night. Wake up in the morning before everybody else wakes up. Leave, because I don't want anybody, my boys, knowing that you came tonight. I don't want anybody knowing. He tells her this. There's another guy that's closer kin than me, so I got to talk to him first and get his permission to redeem you because that's the law. So she's like, okay. But before you leave, baby, here's a bottle of little oil and then some stuff to take back to the house. When she gets back to the house in the morning, remember she gets up like at 5 a.m., she goes to the house. Listen to this. When she gets to the house, you know who's waiting for her? Who's waiting for her? Mother-in-law. What's her mother-in-law name? Watch this. Hey, hold on. This is a trip right here. Watch this. Now watch how the Holy Spirit puts it. Watch Ruth 3. Watch this. Verse number 16. You there? I'm ending the message right now, so don't miss this. Verse 16. Are you there? Yeah. All right, watch this. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, talk to me. Whoa. Man, if we was in black church, I'd be running around everywhere. But we at teen camp. Yeah, y'all don't know how we get down. Now listen. Do you see? First of all, the Bible's amazing, yes or no? Okay, check this out. Before, y'all missed that. Before, she's just Ruth the Moabitess. Before, who art thou? I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. But when she came back to the house in the morning, watch this. Her mother-in-law asked her, who art thou, my daughter? In other words, are you Mrs.? It's okay. Wrong answer. No. In other words, are you Mrs. Boaz? But at night, when the transaction was going on, Boaz asked her, "Who art thou?" Before. After, in the morning, when she got home, same question was asked to her, "Who art thou, my daughter?" In other words, are you Mrs. Boaz or not? Tell me, did this go well? Did he say he would redeem you, or did he reject you? Did he say you could be his wife, or did he tell you, "No, I'm not interested in it"? Because according to the law, he could have said, "I'm not interested." But when she came back to the house, it's a before she was single. It's a before she was just a Moabitess. It's a before she was lost. It was before she's just a servant. But in the morning, when she got back to the house, she came back as Mrs. Boaz. Psh, boom, baby, mic drop. Whoa, who art thou, my daughter? She used to work in the field. Yeah, y'all don't know. Boy, it's going over your head. She used to work in the field. But now, she's about to own that field. She used to work in that field. And now she's about to own that field. You say, what is this about, Brother Sammy? Elimelech made the wrong decision. Woo. She could have stayed in Moab. Yes or no? But she would have never gotten to chapter 3. Did she know that she was going to get to chapter 3? Nah, she didn't know. It was just the H-A-P that led her to the B-O-A-Z. Okay, okay. She didn't know. She had no idea. And neither do you, and neither do I. Listen to me. God's working in mysterious ways. You don't see the light of another day. Right now you're in darkness, you're doubting, you're depressed, you're like, dude, I don't know what's going on. I know, but nobody does in the room, nobody. The beautiful thing about God is that as we take a step, he opens the path a little bit more. You take another step, and he opens the pathway a little bit more. Walking by faith, it's not just saying it. Walking by faith, it's an action verb. You have to walk. God opened the way. And God opened the way. Why would he open the way for you and me if we stop? He's not going to open the way. Thy word is a, unto my what? Thy word is a lamp unto my what? Thy word is a lamp unto my? That's today. And watch what the verse says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my what? That's tomorrow. You find God's will by searching God's word. And if you leave this by the side, threshing floor, whoosh, the God and godly are not so. Tomorrow we're going to conclude. Only two more times I speak to you. Hopefully you're not tired of hearing me. But pray that God will use me to help you. That's the only reason I'm here. Every head bowed and every eye closed.